The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Trinity Sunday is one of many that bring a little bit of trepidation to the pastor because it's such an enormous concept, reality. See, even now I'm having a hard time finding words. Somebody once said that if you are going to try to teach on the Trinity, chances are you will commit some sort of heresy, technically. But I'm going to sally forth anyway. There's a story about Augustine, the great church father, who wrote extensively on the Trinity, who was walking by the seaside one day. You know, he lived on the Mediterranean coast, and he was walking along, the story goes, and there was a young boy there playing, and he had dug a hole. Some things are timeless, right? This is way back. And he saw a little boy, and the little boy had a bucket, and he was getting water from the ocean and coming up to the hole and filling it. And then going back and doing it again and again and again. And Augustine is said to have come up to the boy and said, "What are you doing there?" And the little boy said something to the effect of, "Well, I'm emptying the Mediterranean Sea into this hole." And Augustine is to have said, "Oh, the sea is too vast, and your hole there is too small to contain it." As he was walking, this is precious, as he was walking away, he realized, "Oh, I'm doing the exact same thing when I'm trying to write coherently on the Trinity. The sea is too vast. The hole is way too small." But let's count on the Holy Spirit this morning to give us some glimpses and insights into the reality of this thing that sadly some even Christians in our day would deny. I had a friend who served at a church who had a Sunday school teacher who told him that he did not believe in the divinity of Jesus. We have major religious movements today that deny the divinity of Jesus and will not embrace the Trinity. Did you know that if you were to go on the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, and if you were allowed to go in, and you look up, there's a round, you know, the golden dome there, there's a dome, and inside there in Arabic is a curse on people who would believe in the Trinity. Something to the effect of, and to those blasphemers who would say that God is three, some sort of curse of some kind be on them. Might be just as easy to ignore the Trinity a little bit because it's a hard concept. I'm not sure, my goodness, how many evangelical churches today are going to be focusing on the Trinity. Maybe none, maybe some, I don't know. But golly, we better know who we're worshiping. Why? Because we become like the one we worship. And we're going to worship somebody or something. The enemy knows this. If it's not God or our concept of God, it will be ourselves or the stuff that we have. So we need to know something more about our triune God. And more than that, we need to experience something more of our triune God and enter into this marvelous relationship that our triune God has, the eternal divine family, as it's been called. Last Sunday was what? Pentecost. We celebrated the critically important day in the life of the church that we observe the birthday of the church. Jesus promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. And at Pentecost, that gift arrives. Barb Pinson said last week, it's the most amazing gift of all. There couldn't be a bigger one. I want you to turn to John 14 today, please. John 14, verse 15 and following. These are the words of Jesus. Listen carefully. "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And then that verse I love so much. On that day, talking about Pentecost, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Skip to verse 28, please. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now, I'd like for you to skip over a chapter or so to chapter 16, to verse 7 and following. We're now in chapter 16 of John, verses 7 and following. And Jesus says this, picking up on this theme of, you should be glad I'm going. He says this, but truly I say to you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, who's he talking about? Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Let me just stop right there and give thanks for that piece of generosity. Verse 12. Take this one in, would you? I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Wow, so much to take in there. It's like drinking from a fire hydrant. So much is being said about Jesus. So much is being said about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so much is being said, although some tacitly, about the relationship in the divine family. Jesus says it's a good thing. It's a good thing that I'm going. We should be glad. I don't know about you. Sometimes I just cry out, oh, brother Jesus. I just really wished you were here right now. And then I realize that through the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, he is. But can you imagine what the disciples were thinking? I can only imagine what they must have thought. They've been with him. They've told jokes with him. They've been behind the scenes, as it were. They've had a wonderful time. They've had a terrible time. They've had all kinds of times, and they were with him, and now he's leaving? Jesus has said a lot of big things to the disciples right here, and it's on the cusp of his leaving. And the disciples have a lot of questions, which, by the way, they mostly keep to themselves. If you were to look at verse 18, you would see in this same chapter, they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. I love that. By the way, just another wonderful testimony that Scripture is true. What other person would put that in the account? Except guided by the Holy Spirit. We don't know everything. What does he mean by a little while? Can you see them kerfuffling with each other? What does he mean? I have no idea. So it makes sense that Jesus says he has more he'd like to say, but for the disciples' sakes, he won't. Who doesn't get overwhelmed by reading all of this? I do. The love that Jesus exudes on behalf of the whole Trinity, the big responsibility of our calling as Christians, the path of walking out our baptisms in the face of suffering and hatred, it's all in there, and it's a lot. And Jesus says, I've got more I'd like to share with you, but I'm not going to do that right now. It's a lot to know, and even more to remember it when we need it. Do you ever feel sometimes, what do I do next? What comes next? oh, I know, I know, I need to remember some of the stuff that Jesus has said is available to me. How am I going to do that? It's a lot to know. And it's a lot to remember when we need it. But listen, God promises to be there to help us remember. And that's literally what Jesus is saying about what the Holy Spirit will do in verses 12 through 15. Go back and scan that just a little bit. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Yeah? So, right here we see the Holy Spirit as the declarer of truth. And as the God who is love, who will declare to us what is to come. And all that belongs, you see the words in there? All that belongs, which is everything, to the other members of the Trinity will be made known to us. That's good. I want to read it again. I want you to hear that again. The Holy Spirit, as the declarer of truth, and as the God who is love, will declare to us what is to come. And all that belongs to the other members of the Trinity will be made known to us. That's what the Word says. Wow. As one commentator has said, the Holy Spirit is the God still with us. That's interesting to chew on, think about. So what I'd like to do this morning in our remaining moments is to think a little bit about what it would be like if Jesus had not ascended and sent the Holy Spirit. What would it be like if we didn't have the Holy Spirit? Now, you could just say, well, it'd be rotten, and we'd be done with the discussion. But I want to get really specific by taking a look at some of the things we've read. Let's kind of pull out from there. What would it be like? What would the reality be if we didn't have the Holy Spirit? Seems like a good thing to do on Trinity Sunday. We just said that the Holy Spirit helps us remember and that He is the declarer of truth. So, if the Holy Spirit is not with us, then what happens? What do you mean? Truth is fuzzy? Truth is liquid? Truth is changeable? If there's no Holy Spirit, then we do not have a declarer of truth. Do you see places in our society today where truth is liquid and fuzzy? This also says that the Holy Spirit helps us remember. So if there is no Holy Spirit, then what? What is ours in Christ? Who we are? Are there places in our society, even perhaps some believers, who have forgotten who they are and why they were born? Yes. Let's take a close look at the two passages I just read from John, both of those chapters, and then we'll take a look at another appointed scripture for the day in Romans. All right, look at John 16, 13, would you? Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will also declare to you what is to come. What a huge statement that is. God's story is the story of everything. And what is to come is the basis of all our hope in this life. What is to come? Now, we are already living in the kingdom, and there are all kinds of wonderful kingdom benefits in the right now. But what is to come is our hope. And most fundamentally in Christian Orthodox belief, what is to come is Jesus Christ, God with us. Remember the early Christian hymn text, probably a hymn text, we say it every single week. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Christ will come again. He is that, if I can use that particular word, which is to come. Here's another thing that's to come. You ready for this? Here's another thing that is to come. Uninterrupted union with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the new heaven and the new earth. Does that give you some hope? That's another thing that is to come. Uninterrupted union with the divine family. The Trinity's members belong to one another. And by and through the power of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, they are given to us. I'm going to say it again. Wrap your minds around that. The Trinity's members belong to one another. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the person and work of the Holy Spirit, they're given to us. We know them by the Holy Spirit who declares them to us. And through that very act of declaring, we know the Holy Spirit. Jesus said so. You know him. You know him. So based upon what I've just said right there, what happens? What would it mean for us if there was no Holy Spirit? There's no hope. That's right. We do not have hope in that which is to come. What did you say? We don't know who we belong to. And we do not participate in the life of the divine family. God has made us for relationship. This idea of Lone Ranger Christianity is from the pit of hell. Can I get an amen? I hear this one. And the Holy Spirit makes that possible, that we participate in this divine, uninterrupted union of Father, Spirit, and Son. Next, there's one work of the Holy Spirit that's emphasized three times in verses 13 through 15. Jesus says that the Spirit will tell or declare what is to come. Do you see that? Depending upon the translation you have. Jesus says that the Spirit will tell, declare what is to come. Will tell and declare to us what belongs to him and take what is Jesus's, which is also the Father's, and will tell and declare it to us three times. Do you see those three times? Look very carefully. Let me walk through it again. In verses 13 through 15, Jesus says that the Spirit will tell, I'll use the word tell, what is to come. He will tell to us what belongs to Jesus. Wow. Stop and just take that one in just a minute. My mind is a hole in the sand and the Mediterranean Sea is coming in. Tell to us what belongs to Jesus and take what is Jesus's, which is also the Father's, and tell it to us. Mercy. And those last two clauses with the word declare or tell are exactly the same. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you or tell you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known or tell to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your personhood and your work. Thank you for disclosing to us the absolute largesse of all that is the Father's and the Son's. And we bow in humility in the knowledge that you will tell all of it to us. Marvelous. I want that. What does it mean to tell? What does it mean to declare? It's to report, to teach, to disclose, to give information, to announce, to proclaim. Jesus says that he can't say so much more to the disciples because they've reached their limit. They're a hole in the sand on the side of the ocean and there's no more room. But the Spirit will continue this declaring work. Listen, that's a beautiful picture of how the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is continuing the ministry of love of the Father and Son as God still with us. Each person of the Trinity possesses the same love for humanity. And each person of the Trinity is interested in declaring that love to humanity. And it is the person and work of the Holy Spirit who makes it all possible. And since my little mind can't contain it, God bless him. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for continuing the work of declaring. I won't know it all. We won't know it all until we reach the new heavens and the new earth. But until that time, bless you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for continuing that ministry. It is good, Lord Jesus, that you went away. Now, talking about what I've just laid out for you about this declaring work, this ongoing ministry, what does it look like if we don't have the Holy Spirit? Robert says confusion and chaos, even more than we have now. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Barbara. You're absolutely right. Why is there no church? Yes. Yes, we then take up that role of declaring. And if the Holy Spirit is not there, there is no church. By the way, I'm convinced that when, this is a little extra something, okay? I'm convinced that when the Holy Spirit withdraws from a church, and does he do that? I think he does. When the Holy Spirit withdraws from a church, they are dull enough not to realize it, but smart enough to sense it. Does that make sense? And they have to put something back in place to try to capture that unifying feeling, if that's even the right word, of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to really, really, really get into this latest faddish thing. Or we're really, really, really going to emphasize something that sounds really good, but isn't the same thing as the declaring work of the Holy Spirit. That's how some churches can get way over on the other side of some social ministry or social justice thing, which can be important and good. But if we're relying on that, I'm starting to preach. If we're relying on that instead of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, then God help us. Anything else? If the Holy Spirit is not present to do this ongoing ministry of declaring to us, what happens, Bill? There is no light. We have darkness. We're wondering about, and as Mark said a minute ago, we kind of go our own way. I saw one more hand. Let's take one more. Was there? Well, I wonder if prayer, this is one of those places where I'm speculating. I wonder if prayer is even possible that the person and work of the Holy Spirit, because he speaks for us. There are groans that we can't even understand. Yes, go ahead. Turn to Romans 5, would you please? It's another one of our pericopes of scripture for today. I want us to do some more speculating. Romans 5, 1 through 5. And as I read this, I'm going to comment a little bit. And I want you to be thinking, what would it mean for us if we did not have him? Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope, listen carefully, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Metaphors for God's triune nature have come and gone down through the centuries. How many children's sermons have you heard where we take an egg or we look at steam and water and ice? There's so many attempts to try to get our finite minds around this. But one metaphor that has endured, because I think it is thoroughly scriptural and right at the center of what we've been talking about today, is the relational nature of the members of the Godhead, the divine eternal family. We profess, as Orthodox believing Christians, that members of the Trinity are deeply linked in a mutual relationship of love, service, sacrifice, and dependence. Our triune God extends that relationship to God's dearly beloved people. Stop right there and think about that. We are extended the love that each of the members of the Godhead have for one another. Each member of the Trinity has a role to play in drawing God's justified children into relationship, not only with God, but also with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of that happens through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, thinking about that and what we have just read in Romans, what would it mean for us if we did not have the Holy Spirit? I'll get you started. We might have love of a kind, but it wouldn't be the love that the Godhead has for each of its members. What else, Gene? There is no truth, just lies. Yes? There you go. Suffering then has no purpose, beautifully said. Because we've already learned here how these things stack up one to another. I can't remember the kind of poem that is. Starts with an S. Can't remember. There's a theological term. But each one of these things builds on another and another and another. And it says we have all of these things, and suffering produces perseverance, et cetera, et cetera. But if there is no Holy Spirit, then there's no point in suffering. And we can't rejoice in those sufferings. And that means we can't share in Christ's sufferings. What else? There's no peace with God. This says here that we've been justified through faith. How can we possibly know that and understand it without the person and work of the Holy Spirit? John? Yes, because love is what we say it is, right? This says we've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there at the end it says God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Barb? We've lost the hope of the glory of God. We've lost the ability to love one another appropriately. Let me close with this beautiful look at the Trinity by the great Frederick Buechner. This is from a book of his called Wishful Thinking, Theological ABC. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit mean that the mystery beyond us, the mystery among us, and the mystery within us are all the same mystery. Thus, the Trinity is a way of saying something about us and the way we experience God. The Trinity is also a way of saying something about God and the way He is within Himself. I.e., God does not need the creation in order to have something to love, because within Himself love happens. In other words, this is the beautiful sentence. In other words, the love that God is love not as a noun, but as a verb. And then he says, this verb is reflexive as well as transitive. Remember what that means? Reflexive verb is a verb whose subject and object always refer to the same person or thing. A transitive verb is a verb that requires an object to receive the action. Somehow, all at once, God's love flows to and among each of the persons of the Trinity. And that love and that family is given to us, made available to us. We experience it. We stand in it, Scripture says. The person and work of the Holy Spirit makes possible our relationship with the ultimate relationship, the divine family. God the Father has loved His Son from all eternity, and the Son has returned the love of the Father in perfect self-sacrificial love. And the infinite love proceeding from the Father to the Son and from the Son to the Father may be seen as the Holy Spirit who proceeds even to us and allows us to love and participate in the life of the Trinity. There is no God like our God. John 14:20 says, on that day you will realize that as I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am also in you. Why? How? Because of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we delight in your presence. We marvel at what you do and who you are. And I pray that some of this marvelous truth would fill up the finite hole that is our minds. But it would be a lot more than just something neat to know. but that it would help us step into the divine relationship that is ongoing between you, Holy Spirit, and the Son and the Father at all times and for all time. Help us to get that today, to step into the reality of that. Holy Spirit, draw us up into that love, and especially as we prepare to come to table, may we have a communion this day, perhaps like never before, because of you. And we ask all of these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of you, precious Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.